Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Cardinal against baptistry, it will go off. I promise. It won't keep working. Okay? Good to see y'all here. In the wild, where are our wild people? Can I tell you just a happy, proud pastor moment while everybody's gathering up? Are they supposed to be gathering up there?
Yes.
Y'all gather up in the wild. Proud pastor moment. Just watching Christ Community Church come together all week, many of whom came after work, after being tired, sacrificing their time to be with our kiddos. They came smiling. They came ready to work. They poured themselves out into the lives of our youngins. And I'm so proud of them. You ought to be proud of them too. So for everybody who's in BBS, let's give them a hand. Let me just tell you another reason why I'm proud of Christ Community Church. Y'all know I preach at the Founder Church, and I like the Founder Church. But, you know, Allie usually goes with me. Okay, so she goes with me to the Foundry. She went with me this morning. And we went to the Foundry, and she brushed her hair, and she put on makeup, and, you know, she's here, she's my pretty girl, and we went there, and we had church, and it was fine. But as we were coming up to Christ Community Church, she started putting stickers on her face and, like, pulling her hair back, like, it's time to get it on, it's time for war. Looked like she was putting war paint on. I said, oh, I like Christ Community Church. You know, it just inspires. As far as this, you know, she said, I got to get my stickers on, Daddy. We're doing it in the wild. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our wild church. We're going to have a good time. Y'all, welcome. After our team here does In the Wild, and that song is going to get stuck in your head, I want to apologize in advance. I've been singing in the wild all week. Anyway, it's going to get stuck in your head, but when they're done, it's our turn to be the choir. It's our turn to lift our voice to God and to praise Him because He's worthy. Okay? Last thing for me before we get started is at the end of service, we are going to be showing a video of what God did through the VBS ministry. And I invite you all to check that out. Stick around. It'd be worth the time to watch it. Last thing before we go is another proud pastor moment. We had a big old group of Christ Community folks, youth and adults, out at Camp Lakeside yesterday, last night. We had a whole group of folks who were out there. Our youngs were out there from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. Many of our youth leaders were out there with them. Y'all, we got to lead the service. God just graced us. But man, we was a big old rowdy group. We were us out there. We didn't become somebody else out there. We was us out there, and I was proud. I was just proud. Proud of us. And so anyway, good things going on. I'm going to pray and shut up, and we're going to say, Father God, thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
like King John said, that song will get stuck in your head. And so if you ever wonder what the days of Elijah are, we're in them. Be up here dancing on stage. Last night at Taking Jesus Back to School, they asked, could we play one more song? And I stared dumbfounded for a good 15 seconds because all I could think of to save my life was, in the wild. So welcome. Let's worship together this morning.
And though these are days of
Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. That, and this is such a beautiful picture of the gospel, that God left behind his riches to be made poor so that we may share in his immeasurable riches. Is that good news to you? Because I don't know about y'all, I'm not in any kind of running to be rich ever. I'm just not. There's not a rich uncle. There's not a rich daddy, mama, we've done genealogy hoping. There's not one. I'm not getting some big boatload of cash one day. But when you think about different places in the world, for some reason, American people are often fascinated with the royal family in Great Britain. Like, they forget a little bit of American history where we told them, no, thank you. But nonetheless, we're fascinated with weddings and funerals and christenings and births and this and that and the otherwise. But when you think about royal people, which I have to think about it because I'm not one, the prince has his standing because of who his daddy and mama was. And his daddy had his standing because of who his daddy and his mama were before that. Isn't it good to know that our Heavenly Father is the King of all kings and the Lord of all kings? And as we stand here this morning, it doesn't matter that we don't have status. It doesn't matter that maybe no one else on this world cares for us, but that our Heavenly Father cares for us. We have standing because of Him, and what matters at the end of the day is who He says that we are.
Walking on the floor, oh, it's hard.
All right. Hey, a couple quick announcements. We found these things. This was found somewhere in the front part of the church. It's a key with red stuff on it. Who is it? Somebody? Anybody? It's up here. It's going to be on this. There's also this. It's going to be on this. If any of those are yours, come get them off that. This. Okay? We can do it. Y'all, it's just good. I'm just fired up. I love that what God gives me an opportunity to do in being a pastor and a preacher. It's just really cool. And I probably could just gush about loving it. I'm going to try to limit that. But did y'all just jam out with Mitchell when he was back there going, man, you know, y'all know I got a belly drum. But I'm telling you, I started doing a little air guitar right there. I was loving it, you know. It's just good things. Y'all, good things. We're never going to be guilty of overpraising God for the good things in our life. Yeah, he's never going to say, that's too much. Back off a little bit. It's really not that good. We're not in danger of that. We're not in danger of praising too much, worshiping too much, being too grateful. Never going to hear God say, just too grateful. Come on, you're embarrassing me. It's not going to happen. Man, see those good things, point them out. Our kiddos up here doing In the Wild. Did you check them out? There's a little sweet girl standing right in front of me, and she looked, and she's doing that, and she looked at me, and she goes, she was waving at me, and my heart was like, oh, it's just good. Brandon is here. He said last night, we saw him last night at Camp Lakeside. You want to tell him what happened? He rededicated his life to Christ. Standing in the midst of a whole group of people, he shared that with them last night, and then he came up to me holding a pizza, and he said, I'm going to come to your church tomorrow. So I let you in, you bring the pizza. No, you got to have pizza come in here. You know, it's just good, and we have a good message, okay? I want to remind you of what we got going on in the message. We're in a series. We'll do probably one more in this series called In With God. In with God. And the idea of being in with God is the idea of saying, having a relationship with Him, knowing that He is wanting to be with us and He wants us to be with Him and that He's willing to find us. Okay? I've spent a lot of my life, the first part of my life before I knew God, not only did I not know God, but I felt like God didn't like me. I felt like I was on the outs with God. I didn't understand God's people, the church. I didn't understand God's Word, the Bible. I didn't understand God's plan, God's covenants, God, anything. And I felt like I was on the outs with God. I was lost. I didn't know Him. You know, so I mean, I felt that. I came and I shared a testimony with you all last week about how in my own family, a generation or two above me, that my family felt like they were on the outs with God. And we kind of had this rebellious streak because felt like the church said, you don't belong here because of the stuff going on in your life. So we felt like we were on the outs. And how gracious, how wonderful it is, how wonderful it was personally for me to find out that though I was a sinner, God was looking for me. Not for my destruction, but for my life. He was looking to bless me. He was looking to give me kindness and salvation. He was looking to be gracious to me. We looked at that example of a man named Mephibosheth. Anybody in here named Mephibosheth before we go on? Any Mephibosheths? Just one. Okay, I got three. I got three now. Three Mephibosheths. It's not a bad name. It's just hard to pronounce. But we talked about old Mephibosheth not being worthy, but the king looked for him. Because he wanted to show the kindness of God to somebody who was unworthy. And he went, the king went, sent, had him bound, brought him back to the palace, and lavished grace upon him. He said, I'm going to restore to you everything that's been taken from you. I'm going to be with you like a father to a son, and you're going to eat at my table. You're going to eat at my table. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13 says, "And Mephibosheth continually ate at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet." In other words, the things that had gone wrong with Mephibosheth did not hinder the kindness that the king wanted to show him. He was right there in the presence of the king. Man, when the grace of God finds us, what an awesome blessing to know that God invites us in to His world. The most extreme case of that, and something I like to talk about, and I've talked about a bunch, is the thief on the cross. I want you to think about how God invited, how the Lord Jesus Christ invited the thief on the cross to come into His own place. Y'all remember that? Here it is. This man knew he was no good. Some people who are less honest try to keep convincing themselves of their own worth, keep trying to rest on their own righteousness, and that's a fool's errand. I'm just telling you. The only judge is going to say you're guilty, you're not guilty, and that you're worthy is you. And you don't get to be the judge. Okay? It's just a fool's errand. But this thief, nailed to the cross, next to the Lord Jesus, actually says, "Hey, I know why I'm here. I know why I'm in the predicament I'm in. Because I'm a sinner, I'm a criminal, and I earned my way to the cross." But he looked at Jesus and he said, "But you don't belong here. You haven't done anything wrong." And we know Jesus wasn't dying for his own sins, was he? Whose sins was he dying for? Ours. And even that thief on the cross. That thief who wasn't going to do one good thing in his life. He wasn't going to accomplish anything. He wasn't going to be useful for anything. He wasn't going to go to a church service. He wasn't going to tithe a tithe. He wasn't going to do one Bible school lesson. He wasn't going to do nothing but die. He was hours from death. Cursed. Because everyone who's cursed dies on a tree. That's what the Bible says. Cursed is he who dies. So here's this cursed man dying of crucifixion in the Roman Empire. Worth nothing, a dead dog. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus didn't say, "Shut up, you dead dog." He says, "Surely I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." Grace so undeserving and so rich invites us in. Just like Mephibosheth got invited in to David's house, to David's temple, to David's table. That thief got invited in to the paradise of God. Anybody else want to go there? I mean, it don't sound bad, does it? Jesus is the one that called it paradise. You think he knows what he's talking about? Yeah, and he invited that guy. I want you to think another picture of where people got invited. We're going to be in John chapter 14, and this is verses 1 through 4, and I don't think I have it up there. I don't think I may have. But it's the ones that Jesus, that's it. It's the one that Jesus is preparing a place for. I want you to think about how gracious this is. To me, this is the most romantic section of Scripture that there is. And y'all probably know I'm the king of romance. And just ask my wife. Is she in here? No, then the motion passes. I am that. Okay. No opposed by like signs. All right, I got it. But listen to this. Now, we know that Jesus didn't get married on this earth. He was a single man. He didn't get married. But did you know that he got engaged? Oh, yeah, he got engaged. This is the proposal. I want you to hear this. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know." I'm just going to keep reading because this is so good. And Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going." And he said, "So how can we know the way?" Y'all know what Jesus answered, right? And then Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. All right, focus back in on this idea that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, and that when He has prepared a place for us, He will come back to receive us to Himself, that we might be with Him always. Now, to us, that sounds just like maybe a contractor planning something. But can I tell you what it really is? It's a way that a Jewish man would have proposed to a woman. It's a way that the arrangements, having the fathers of the bridegroom and the bride, they've already made their contract of betrothal. Before they got married, though, that guy who was going to get married, he needed to go prepare a place at his father's house to live with his new bride. He wouldn't get married. They wouldn't officially be married until he made a place for them to live, for them to go. So when Jesus says, I am going to my Father's house, I'm preparing a place for you that you might be with me. Y'all, I couldn't think of anything. It's like a proposal. Imagine this is a ring. He's down on bended knee. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know, if a guy gets down on his knee and he pops a ring out of his pocket, what's he fixing to do? That's a proposal right there. That's Jesus saying to those who believe in Him, I want you to be with me. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm adding on as many rooms as need be to bring you all with me that you might be with me in my place. That's grace beyond measure. If the Lord proposes to me again, I hope He does you the cookie. Isn't that good? If y'all, He wants us to be where He is. He invites us in to His place. And we are privileged and honored to go through faith and say, wow, I get to go to God's place. But can I tell you, when we talk about being in with God, it's not just about going to His place someday. It's not just about being invited into the paradise of God. It's not just about showing up someday in the throne room of God, singing praises to God. It's not just eating at His house, at His table. God invites us to come into His place, but then He asks us to come into our place. He not only wants us someday to be with Him where He is, but today He wants to be with you and I where we are now. Stay in this chapter of John, John 14, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 24. 19 through 24 say this: A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but it's my Father's who sent me. Let's pray. Father God, now we've heard your word. Help us, Lord, to be hospitable in the highest degree to you. Help us, Lord, to recognize that this life is not just about us coming someplace to see you. It's not about just coming to your place once a week at the church house. It's not just about meeting with you every once in a while or someday when we get into heaven. It's about the fact that you want to move in to our messy hearts. That you want to move into the soul and to the life that we have here. You want to be our ever-present, loving companion. Help us, Lord, to trust you enough to let you, ask you, beg you to make your home in us. Lord, we love you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I tell you, to me, this is like the most flattering yet terrifying thing. It's to have God want to come into your life. It's like having somebody come to visit your home. You know, it's one thing when somebody says, hey, why don't you come, y'all come to our house. Sooner or later, I'm going over to the Mooney residence because I've done hooked them in. I gave them some meat to cook up, and you know they're going to be some fights, and we're going to watch them out there. When I go out there, man, I'm just glad to be out there, you know, and I'm carefree. Man, I ain't worried about nothing. I ain't taking care of nothing. All my responsibility is clean my plate, and I've got that handled. You know, that's just good, okay? We're going to fight. We're not going to fight. We're going to watch people fighting, which is a lot easier, you know, than really fighting. But we're going to have a good time. It's not my responsibility to get the house ready. It's not my responsibility to get the food ready. It's not my responsibility to get anything ready. I'm the visitor. I'm going to Him. It's like that when I think about God inviting me into His world. It doesn't bring up all the anxiety. Matter of fact, it brings up nothing but joy. Like, woo-hoo, we get to go to the God world and the God place and the God kingdom. Let's go. It sounds good. Jesus has paid all the bills. There's no responsibility. I know it's clean. The streets are gold. The sea is crystal. Woo! There's angels and things. It's all good. It's exciting. What a great privilege and honor. What a great grace. But when God says, hey, I want to come to your house. Do you? Really? My house? Are you sure? You know where it is? I mean, I know you do, but are you sure? You've been there before. See what I'm saying? Think about when you invite someone to your house. I invite someone to my house. You know what? The biggest thing, I want to know, when are you coming? And I'm going to try to be, you know, smooth about it. When do you think you might be there? I mean, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock. Yeah, but which one? 5 or 6. I don't know. You know, we'll just play it by ear. That's great. It's great. But do you think it's going to be 5 or 6? You know, and why is it? Why do we get that going on? Because the responsibility is on the now we're going. I've got to clean up. I've got to do these things. I've got to make sure this is done, this is done. I mean, we get all hands on deck at the go water place. Somebody's coming here and start going, okay, what are we going to do? Put this here. Start doing this. You know, we start going and you know, it just happens. I'm just telling you. You know, we can't convince folks to meet, you know, we're going to come to your house. That's great. Would you rather meet at the church? The church is fine. The church is really nice. It's really, really nice. You know, but we go through this anxiety because somebody's coming into our house. I see it on people's faces when I visit. I'll come to their house and you know, I'm the pastor, I'm the preacher, so I come in and I understand the anxiety they go through, but almost without fail, the lady of the house is going to tell me, oh, please excuse the mess. I got this over here and all that stuff. Like I'm coming in looking for mess. Like I'm coming in going, let's see. Oh, yeah, that's not right. Curtains aren't straight. When's the last time that table was touched? I see a dish in the sink. You must have dogs. I see all the hair around. Check. Get my white gloves out. Ooh. Man, I come to people's house. That's the last thing I'm thinking about. I'm not looking at how your house is kept and all these things. I'm glad that you let me in. But I know the anxiety. Because that's the same anxiety that goes through us when somebody comes over. But y'all, listen to this. It'd be one thing just having friends and family. And then you get that anxiety. But imagine a celebrity, a well-known, or you know, quote-unquote important person, or leader, or something, says, hey, I'm coming to your house. Now it's even worse. Now you start doing, so, you know, you might take out a second mortgage because you're like, you know, it's time to fix that roof. I haven't put it off. Time to lay out the red carpet. For people whom people really do lay out red carpets. Somebody fancy. Now I gotta tell you, ain't no celebrities asking to come over to my house. Ain't no world leaders, ain't no important people like, oh, we come to visit you. But the King of Kings has said he would like to make his home with me. There ain't no people calling my phone up saying, man, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. I want to know you for real. I want to be your friend. You know, I don't get all this call from, again, celebrities or important folks or whatever you want to call it. But the most important person in the world wants to know me from the inside out. Oh, man. I want to be in with God, but it scares me to let God in with me. Because there's mess up in here. And there's mess in here. Sometimes there's dirt on here and on my feet. I'm like those disciples. Jesus said, let me wash your feet, and I feel like I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. But he said, if I don't wash them, I ain't got no part of you. But then I would be just like Peter. Well, don't stop there, Lord, because I got a whole kind of mess. And what did he say? You've been made clean, just need to wash your feet right now. Can I tell you something? Letting Jesus into my life scares me. I know Jesus will not for a moment justify any of the mess that I'm in. He's not going to just pat me on the back and say, oh, it's okay. Sin's not sin and wrong's not wrong. It's okay. We'll overlook all those things. He's never going to do that. He's never going to say it's okay. But you know what he is going to say? He's going to say, I love you. I love you. I know your mess. I've known your mess. I know the mess that will be, and I still love you. You don't bring Jesus in your life to justify your mess. You bring Jesus in your life because he loves you, even though there is mess. Jesus is not coming into your life to crush you. Jesus is coming into your life because he loves you. And you can trust him with everything in your life. When we talk about being in, it's not just about meeting him at special places and special times on neutral ground. This passage of scripture I read is about him coming to see you. Right in the place where you live. Right in your heart. Right in your soul. Let's look at some of these things. Just ask some questions. In verse 19 we hear, because I live, you will live also. Let me ask, do you understand or do you see the need for the life of Christ to be your life? Do you understand the need to let Christ live in you? You know, when Jesus comes, he says he's going to bring a life. You know, there's all kinds of things that people live for. We live to make money. We live for our families. We live to make things secure. We live for pleasure. We live for whatever. Some of us maybe be ignorant of what we live for. We're like, I don't know why I'm here. I like to eat. Is eating good? Some of us are here just to eat. You ever hear, eat to live, don't live to eat? Yeah, I've caught on to that a little too late. But sometimes that's what people live for. Are you going to let Christ bring his life into your life? Are you going to live because Christ lives? Are you going to eliminate all the other options that are just second, third, fourth, fifth best, way down the line? And say, you know what? Because Christ is alive from the dead, I'm going to allow his life to shine in me. But if you're going to do that, remember, you're inviting him to come into your life. He'll weed everything out. The brightness of Christ will drive the dark away. You know what I found? And you know what the Bible says in John chapter 3? Sometimes people really love the dark. Sometimes people really love the dark in their life. And when the light comes, they recoil. And they say, but. I ain't ready to give all that up. I ain't ready to step all the way in the light. Oh, can I just visit you at your place? You know what the worst deception I think in religion is that you can come to a place on Sunday morning and think that that's a relationship with God. Visiting God at the special place he lets you come to once a week. Bah, humbug. That ain't it. Man, he knows you, he loves you, and he wants to visit you. Being in with God means you letting God in. Let me ask this question. Are you willing to have God showing up in your life? Are you willing to let God go showing up in your life? I know the Bible school answer. I know the church answer. Yes. There's two church answers. Yes and Jesus. And you put them together and you got the greatest church answer ever. Yes, Jesus. But when God shows up in your life, let me tell you, plans are going to go His way, not your way. Listen to what it says here in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest, show up, I'll manifest in him. I will show up in his life. You ready to have Jesus showing up in your life? Hey, you ain't got to pray. Not my will, but your will be done. Because when God shows up, he already knows who will is going to be done. Are you willing to say, I'm going to love you, I'm going to obey your word, that you might show up in my life? But he ain't going to show up on your schedule. We know that about Jesus. When is Jesus going to return? Y'all pull out your phones and get on the calendar and tell me when. When's he going to return? You don't know? What if I told you I know? Y'all should walk out of here. Y'all should be like, sucker, you don't know nothing. You're right. Nobody knows. So when is God going to show up in your life and manifest his power in your life? When's he going to do that? You got a formula on that? You got a formula to make God show up? Because if you show up, tell me, man, I'll be the best revival preacher ever, because I'll just plug in that formula and God show up, and then revival goes on and people will pay me. They'll say, that guy. Woo, that guy. I got no formula on making God show up. I know this though, if you're willing, you love him, he says he'll show up. Okay? But it's on his schedule, his time, his will. You just got to be willing to let him come in. What if he messes something up you don't want messed up? I say, don't cry for me, Argentina. Just move on, man. If God kills something, they're supposed to be there. Let it die. Let it die. If God birthed something that should have been there a long time ago, feed it. Let it live. Let God lead in that. Let's look at this next one. Is there room in your life for God to make his home in you? Is there room in your life for God to make his home in you? Now look, I go and visit folks. I've been in a lot of houses from Christ Community. I do need to make a little confession. If I've been to your house and I've used the bathroom, I've looked behind the shower curtain into the tub. I just have. I just got to tell you. I'm sorry. Just out of myself. I have this weird phobia of things hiding out in the tub. And if I'm going to use the restroom, if I'm going to use the bathroom at your house, I've got to look, make sure there ain't nothing up in there. Okay? Now, for most folks, that's good. But every once in a while, folks will hide stuff in the tub when the preacher's coming over. I just want to tell you, it's okay, I ain't judging you, I understand, do the same thing, but I'm just telling you, I've seen it. Okay? I've seen it. You pull that away, you go, oh, okay, well that ain't threatening, I'm good to do what I got to do and be gone. But, can I tell you something? That room in your house, when somebody's coming over last minute, you stuff everything in that room, and you put places in the tub, or anybody ever, we've done this. Somebody's coming over and you got too many stuff on the counter and stuff to get rid of, so you start putting it in the oven because you know you ain't going to use the oven while there. You know, everywhere becomes a storage place of things and stuff, and you're like, just get it out of the way. You're like, hi, how are you? And you're hoping that you remember before you start turning the oven on to make cookies that night, but you got that bad plastic smell. Anyway, it's bad. It's going to be bad. But can I tell you something? God didn't ask to make a visit in your life. It's easy to hide things from a visitor. Again, a visitor is not going to know what you got in the tub or stuff in the other or the back room. He ain't going to know. A visitor is polite enough not to go to that closet, you know, at the end of the hall and where all the skeleton bones and dead bodies is, you know. They ain't just going to snoop around. Most visitors are kind enough not to look at your tub. That's why I just give you a fair warning on me. But notice when I read this again, verse 23, just the end part. We will come to him and make our home with him. He didn't ask to make a visit. He's moving in. Y'all get the difference? You know what that means? You can't hide it in the oven for long. The closet doors are going to come open eventually. He's going to know what's in the back room and behind the shower curtain. He's going to know every aspect of who you are and where you are. And the only response you have is to either say, "No, Lord, it's too messy. I'm not willing to hand the master key of my life over to you at this time." Or you say this, "Lord, I know it's messy, but I trust that you love me. Here's the key. Go where you want. My life is your house. My body is your temple. My soul belongs to you. You come and explore every nook and cranny you want. This whole deal is yours." I feel like I'm selling God so short. "All right, you want it, you got it." But isn't it funny? When he takes us up on that, he starts looking into places, we start kind of backing off because we get terrified. Oh my gosh, what's he going to do? What's he going to say? What's he going to find? Can I tell you this? He's not going to find anything that's going to surprise him. He's not going to open one door or shine a light on one aspect of darkness in your life that's going to surprise him. You will not surprise God, but you can please him by trusting him that he loves you. Nothing in your life is going to surprise him, but you can please him by trusting him. Trusting that he loves you bigger than your mess. Trusting he didn't bring you to this place to leave you, that he's going to stay with you. That he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. That his word is true. That he first said way over yonder in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And it's quoted way over yonder in New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13. "I will never leave you or forsake you." Do you trust him with everything? You want to be in with God? Then let God in. Don't set aside special times and places to go visit him. "Hey, I'm coming to your place again. I'm coming to your place again." Let him in you. Let him have his house in you. You become the temple of the living God, in whom the Spirit of God dwells and is not grieved and is not quenched, but is received. And y'all might say, "I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to have conversations with God like that." Can I tell you something? Just do it. You ain't never going to be clean and ready enough to have this kind of deep relationship with God. Just do it. Start telling him all the things you wouldn't dare tell anybody. Matter of fact, I'm not even telling you to go tell anybody else but God. Some of the junk y'all might have in your life might be like some of mine. Ain't nobody else needs to know but God. But God can handle it. You talk to him. If you can't talk to a living soul about these things, you talk to God. Make God your friend. Make God your counselor. Make God your confidant. Make God the best friend you ever had and say, "Lord, live in me every day." You're not going to surprise him with your mess, but you can please him with your trust. Y'all get that? You're not going to surprise him with your mess, but you can please him with your trust. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you that nothing in our lives is going to catch you off guard. You're not going to just go and say, "Oh, I'm done with them. I'm through with them. I hate them. I despise them. I can't believe how stupid they are." You're not going to throw us out. You're not going to justify our mess. But you love us through it. Father, there's nobody going here. There's nobody in here going through stuff that is so bad that makes you want to turn and leave. Would you help us to trust you? Father, I pray today would be the day that somebody would say, "Lord, I'm turning my whole life over to you. Be because you have been so gracious to invite me to your forever home in heaven. I am going to trust you to make your home in me. No rooms off limit. No financial rooms. No spiritual, emotional, physical, sexual, relational, whatever, sinful, nasty, dirty stuff in me. I'm just open to you. No one else. No one else is trustworthy on this level, Lord. I pray there'd be some freedom today in people saying, I'm trusting God with everything, and I'm not holding anything back any longer. No more skeletons in the closet. No more secret places where all the things are hidden and buried. I'm turning it all over to God today. I want Him in my life. Lord, You are our confidant, our Savior, our Counselor, and our Lord. And we turn it all over to You. We love You, and we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, we're just going to have a time of invitation right now. Whatever business you might have to do with God, do it. But I'm going to tell you, this is the message. Trust Him. Trust Him. Whatever sticking point there is in your life that you think you can't give to Him or you can't trust Him with your life today. That's the invitation.
Beautiful. to life what was lost inside of me.
God's always, his invitation is always open. And he's, we're going to get another sermon on this about him knocking and wanting to come in. Y'all, and he don't stop knocking. Okay? You're either going to learn to ignore him or you're going to let him in. All right? So you all just keep that in mind. I have no, this is Gavin. Y'all know Gavin. Wave around, Gavin. Man, this young man, even though he looks to be about 12, man, he has been deployed in the service of our country. He received Christ and was baptized here at Christ Community Church. And I'm just pointing him out, not to embarrass him, even though I probably am, but just encourage y'all, just pray for him. Just pray. I have no idea what he's going through. I prayed for him up here, but he didn't share any of that, and I'm not sharing anything because I don't know anything. But I'm just telling you, he's somebody that we ought to pray for and we ought to be proud of and we ought to encourage. So y'all encourage him. We're going to, y'all know what comes next. Yep. The offering. There we go. Us is going to come up for the morning offering. I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to contribute to something greater than our own needs. To be to say, Lord, there's no way we can repay you. We're not trying to. We're exercising the awesome privilege to contribute to what you're doing and in a way of worship. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we need all the VBS staff, all VBS staff, all VBS staff, all VBS staff, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. That was, I'm sorry. Hey, let's stagger. Okay, are we ready? We're ready.
You are.
it's like looking at you like, come on, man. Come on, man. Don't make me do this in front of the dudes. You can do it in front of the dudes. Oh, oh, it's good. Hey, so proud, like I said, so proud of what Christ Community Church did in coming together. If y'all didn't see how it was decorated, oh my goodness, they did so awesome. If you didn't see just what all happened, you missed that, okay? But I also want to thank for folks. I know there's folks behind the scenes. There's folks praying. There's folks who gave. There's folks who prepared food. There's, I can't name all the folks who were involved in this effort, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm proud. It makes me so glad to be a part of what God is doing. And again, just can't say enough about it. And so thank you to everyone. A big, big thank you. I wish sometimes y'all can see everything that goes on back there like I can. You know, these guys are taking a bow back here. They're not being too modest. They're taking their bow, but they all did good. Watching our youngins, two come up, those who've been through the mat training, and it's all so good. It's all so good. Just to reiterate one point in the announcements, and not to belabor it, but there will be a one-on-one membership class if you're interested in joining Christ Community Church formally and knowing, or just you might say, man, I want to know more about it. That's the place, okay? It's going to happen right after church next Sunday, all right? So you are invited. You might say, who's invited? You. What about anybody? You. He said, me? Yes. You. You're invited. And so you just come on, okay? I think that's it. Look, I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray us out. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you're doing. Father, help us to be trusting enough to let you in us everywhere. And long for you to show up. Even when we're not expecting it. Because nobody can put you in a box and put you on a calendar and a schedule. We just want to be ready to see you. We want to live the life that you have for us to live. Your life in us. So Lord, do that work amongst your people. Make us your people more and more. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Where?